Dow ahead 240 points. The NASDAQ up 3 points. This is SRN News.
Donald Trump's indictment proves that saving America is not going to be easy. There are entrenched powers that are fighting this with everything they've got. They want to keep control over the country, the narrative, and the nation's money supply. Hi, I'm Lance Wall now. I'm a news analyst, a Christian author, an evangelical leader. I speak to millions of people every week, people just like you. You see, what the elites are doing is using inflation and government handouts and now central bank digital currencies to determine how they're going to control America. And that's why I recommend all Christians start a gold IRA from the Birch Gold Group. Because physical precious metals are one of the few ways you can maintain control over your own savings. To get a free info kit on gold IRAs, text the word FAITH to 989898. Birch Gold Group is the only gold company I trust. Get their free info kit and you'll see why a gold IRA can help you. There are no strings attached. Text the word FAITH to 989898 and you're going to be blessed by taking action right now.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Riverside Chevrolet Wetumpka. If it's Chevy, it's Riverside. Best price, best selection. Check them out on the web at riversideusa.net.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. Our late season cold snap continues. Today's temperature's way below normal with sunshine and a high temperature only about 59. I think we'll fall back to the 30s tonight with mostly clear skies and an overnight low temperature down to about 37. Some more frost in the morning. Not quite as cool Wednesday with a high near 70. We'll be in the low 70s Thursday with more sun and the next risk of scattered showers returning Thursday night into Friday. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Web Bobo with Capital Tractor. The Z700 series is the star of Kubota's line of zero-turn mowers, and our special spring pricing makes it easier than ever to take one home today. Powering Alabama, Kubota and Capital Tractor, Montgomery, Brundage, and Greenville.
1819 News.
State lawmaker John Rogers has officially submitted a letter of resignation to the House Speaker Nathaniel Ledbetter. This is the next step for Rogers after agreeing to plead guilty to fraud and conspiracy charges. Rogers, along with another state lawmaker, Fred Plump Jr., and Plump Jr.'s assistant, Vary Kendall, were all charged last year with defrauding a community service fund out of Jefferson County. That fund was created to serve designated issues within the communities of Jefferson County and brought in $3.6 million a year through a 1% tax increase. The state lawmakers are accused of taking hundreds of thousands of dollars from that fund between 2018 and 2022 by submitting fraudulent information about the intended use of that money. I'll be back with more Alabama stories after this.
Where I was living was not a great place to live anymore. I began to pray for a place to go, praying for all of these things that a 9-year-old would want. I wanted horses, big house with a bunch of people my age. I wanted parents. I wanted a mom and a dad. Before I even prayed it, the Lord had already answered my prayer with the Big Oak Ranch. Who would that 9-year-old be if she never came to the Big Oak Ranch? I would be trying to fight for survival instead of fighting to break a cycle.
Big Oak Ranch, a Christian home for children needing a chance.
An officer-involved shooting occurred on the campus of Alabama A&M University in North Alabama. The shooting occurred on Monday at the Knight Complex West. The officer involved was conducting a routine patrol of that area when he heard shots fired on the floor below him in that facility. Reports are that the officer encountered someone within the stairwell, and that's where the firing occurred. That person has since been taken to the Huntsville Hospital. Bluebell Ice Cream announces the release of a new flavor in tribute to a St. Louis dessert. The gooey butter cake ice cream involves pieces of cream cheese along with cake pieces. The new flavor is available in half gallons and pints for a limited time. I'm Andrea Tice.
For more news affecting Alabamians, go to 1819news.com. And while you're there, subscribe to the daily newsletter.
Hi there, I'm Kim Williams with Alabama Home Mortgage. For years, I've been asking you to call me at Alabama Home Mortgage because there is a difference in mortgage companies. When you call Alabama Home Mortgage, from the moment we pick up the phone, you will hear the difference. We are passionate about what we do. To us, you're not just another applicant. When you call on us, you are trusting that we have your best interest at heart, and we do. We treat our customers like family, and that's why our customers turn into family, coming back to us time and time again. We know you have many options when it comes to mortgage financing, and we appreciate the opportunity to earn your business. We are excited to hear from you. Give Alabama Home Mortgage a call at 567-4223. That's 567-4223. Or visit us online at myalabamahomemortgage.com to complete an application on your time. Our passion is just one difference that sets us apart from the rest. It's not just a slogan. Call Alabama Home Mortgage because, folks, there is a difference in mortgage companies. NMLS 1586-368, Equal Housing Lender.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers. Montgomery's conversational radio show. It's News and Views on News Talk 93.1 FM. To join the conversation, call 272-9228.
After damning politicians uphill and down Dale for many years, vagabonds, frauds, and scoundrels. I sometimes suspect that, like everyone else, I often expect too much of them.
Joey Clark.
Welcome into News and Views in the afternoon. I'm your host, Joey Clark. So much to get to today. Joining us at 1 o'clock Central Time, we have Coach Tommy Tuberville. Also, the Prattville Library, of all places. The public library there in Prattville is in the national spotlight, CNN doing coverage about the director's firing there. We'll be talking to the chairman of the board, Ray Bowles, about that. But without further ado, as is tradition on Tuesdays, we have the one, the only, Judge Andrew Napolitano. Judge, how are you, sir?
I'm well, Joey, my dear friend. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. Quite well indeed. We're both doing better than the Pope, I think.
Yes. Yes, we are.
So much to get to today, in particular with Trump's the lawfare, the trials, the legal maneuvering that's going on. I say we start with the one for the great state of New York with Letitia James and this other judge. And Trump's lawyers came out yesterday saying it was a practical impossibility to post his $454 million bond. What do you think is going to happen here?
I think the attorney general, is going to execute on the judgments, meaning she'll begin to seize assets. Now, my understanding of his ownership of these assets is that he actually doesn't own these buildings. He owns shares of stock in the Trump Organization, which owns shares of stock in many, many, many corporations, which owns these buildings subject to the debt that's on them. Bottom line is, she can force the sale of one or more of these buildings. That would result in paying off the mortgages on them, seizing up to what the state is owed, which is now about $480 or $90 million, and then paying the rest to whoever the owner of the building is, which would be some corporation owned by the Trump Organization. The other option would be for Trump to appeal the decision of the judge requiring the full amount of the bond. He's already lost an emergency appeal, but he's entitled to one more. I've encouraged that appeal, and I'll tell you why. The reason that a judgment debtor, a person who's lost a lawsuit, is required to post to the amount of money they lost with the court or purchase an insurance policy called a bond, which names the court as the beneficiary of the policy, is the fear that the debtor will dissipate his assets and that when the time comes due for the judgment creditor, the victorious plaintiff, to collect the money, there won't be any money. But I've stated here and elsewhere that it's impossible for Trump to dissipate his assets because the Trump Organization is under the direction of a monitor who's a retired federal judge. So they can't mortgage any property or sell any property or hide any property or transfer any property to a third party without the monitor's approval, and she'd never approve it. I don't know if they've made that argument yet to the court, but it's a rational and fair reason why he shouldn't have to post a bond of that magnitude.
You know, and it seems like they've almost got him in checkmate on that particular one. I guess we'll see the next steps. But, of course, you also have the Atlanta case where now Nathan Wade is stepped down. It looks like Fannie Willis, however you say her name, is going to pursue this, though I guess she might eventually step down. But does this case even get to trial there, the Fulton County case, before Election Day?
I think so. A soap opera that we all watched about her relationship to her boyfriend, which in my view should not have gone on for 2 weeks, but you have a relatively new judge there who, and I'll say this again, is up for election in November. He's a Republican in a Democrat county. He got the job because he was appointed by a Republican governor. I hope he's not making decisions intended to enhance his political career, but doing what he believes is the right thing under the Constitution and the law and the facts as he understands them. Nevertheless, that trial did go on for 2 weeks. That was a delay. But Fannie Willis has a team of serious, experienced prosecutors ready to take over the courtroom aspects of this case. Her management of it doesn't mean she's going to try it. That'd be the worst thing for her to come in the courtroom. You don't want to remind the jury that the prosecutor probably lied under oath. You want her as far away from that courthouse right. as you can. She can supervise the case from her office.
Right.
And I don't know where they are in pretrial motions, but they have a trial date for around Labor Day. Obviously, Trump will do everything he can to delay it. I mean, let's say he's elected president. They're not going to put him on trial while he's president, but they would put him on trial afterwards. Or let's say they put him on trial, he's convicted, and he's sentenced to jail. He's not going to go to jail while he's president. That sentence would be suspended for his time as a president. On the other hand, if he's not the Republican nominee for some reason, or if he doesn't win in November, then all these delays turn out to be of no value to him whatsoever.
Well, and that's not all, folks. We also have the case, the documents case under Judge Cannon. Some of the headlines seemed, especially pro-Trump sources, seemed exhilarated. I just want to read you one, see what your take on it is. Jack Smith must now decide whether to allow jurors to peruse every single personal classified document found at Mar-a-Lago or give jurors PRA instructions that would effectively order the jury to automatically acquit President Trump. Does that sound right based on the ruling that came out?
No, that sounds to me like a pro-Trump source that is not a lawyer. I don't know who wrote it. I don't want to criticize a person by name. But that is not the case at all. She has not. See, in the federal system, the judges cannot, except during the trial, cannot make decisions from the bench without reducing them to writing. She has mused aloud. She also was a relatively new judge, and she's done something that's a real rookie mistake, which is musing aloud what you think you're going to do. That really sends off bells and whistles to both sides that you don't want to send. In the federal system, none of her rulings, except for the immediate ones during a trial, sustained, overruled, that type of thing, none of those rulings are valid until she reduces them to writing and signs them. And she has not done that yet. But what that's about is the dilemma that the feds have when trying cases involving national defense information. The Sixth Amendment requires that the defendant confront the evidence against him. But Congress has written laws which keep these documents secret. So how can he be confronted with the alleged secret without showing it to a jury, without showing it to the press? Well, Congress has written statutes. They're very difficult to comply with, but they exist, which allow jurors, the defendant, defense counsel, and of course prosecutors, and when relevant, witnesses, and of course the judge, to see things that the public can't see. It's very, very difficult. In the Ollie North case, they gave up the ghost. They decided it was just impossible to comply with this. So even though we think he's guilty, I'm saying this as a friend of Ollie's, even though we think he's guilty, even though we think he revealed national defense information, where we can't prosecute him because more will come out on the trial than we think he revealed. Sometimes the government does give up the ghost on that. I can't see Jack Smith giving up the ghost.
Well, and again, we'll see where it goes. It makes sense what you're talking about with Judge Cannon being new, musing aloud. I think that allows people to write headlines to write whatever they like. And again, folks, we're talking to Judge Andrew Napolitano. You can always check out his podcast, Judging Freedom. It's fantastic podcast. I love that it comes in short bites so you can consume it, but it's topics from all over the world, including our dear country. And did you see that your comments, I think it was to Professor Sachs, about, and you had told this to me, I think, months ago, about Trump and JFK and releasing those documents. That went quite viral on the Twitter or X platform, wherever the heck we're calling it these days.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was, somebody picked it up, I think Colin Rugg, and it got a lot of attention. So people are interested in that whole story right there. They are.
You know, my friend Jerry Corsi is out with another book. I mean, there's just hundreds, maybe even thousands of books, I don't know, on the JFK assassination. But Jerry, who's a PhD historian, has examined everything he can get his hands on. And it was American intelligence that caused this to happen, the American intelligence community. So I wish that Trump would reveal those documents. I also wish he would tell me what it is that they showed him and who they were. I can guess, but I don't want to be like Judge Cannon and just think off the top of my head.
And now I want to close with this. I want to quote Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson. For the audience that hasn't heard this yet, Judge, I imagine you have. This is over that case that's now over the government using kind of the back door to pressure tech companies, I believe. I can't remember the name now. I think it's Mundy or V. Missouri, something to that effect. But this is Ketanji Brown Jackson, I'm quoting, folks. Quote, "My biggest concern is that your view has the First Amendment hamstringing the federal government in significant ways in the most important time periods. And so I guess some might say the government actually has a duty to take steps to protect the citizens of this country, and you seem to be suggesting that that duty cannot manifest itself in the government encouraging or even pressuring platforms to take down harmful information. So can you help me? Because I'm really worried about that, because you've got the First Amendment operating in an environment of threatening circumstances from the government's perspective, and you're saying that the government can't interact with the source of those problems." Again, that's Ketanji Brown Jackson.
The short answer is yes. The First Amendment was intended to hamstring the government and to silence it. The whole purpose of the First Amendment is to keep the government out of the business of speech. Are we still together, Joe?
Yes, sir. I was just showcasing you.
What's even more distressing than what she said is who agreed with her. Justice Kavanaugh, Chief Justice Roberts. This case could be a disaster for the First Amendment. However, thinking off the top of my head, I think they're going to find a way not to reach the ultimate issue. I think they're going to find that the plaintiffs don't have standing. And throw the whole case out. In my opinion, it's very, very clear what happened here. The federal government has been doing indirectly what the Constitution prohibits it from doing directly, which is suppressing speech and advancing speech. There is no governmental interest, none, that not even theoretical, that can trump lowercase t, that can trump the First Amendment. It's the great amendment. It's the reason we are Americans. It's your right to think as you wish, say what you think, read what you want, publish what you say, period. No permission slips, no exceptions, no government involvement whatsoever.
Hear, 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 hear. And imagine if the anti-federalists hadn't gotten the Bill of Rights, how far gone we would be. At least we still have
It's become a bill of government privileges. It's not a bill of rights anymore, unless the Supreme Court does the right thing from time to time.
Well, and before I let you go, who do you have coming up on Judging Freedom this week?
By all my regulars this week. Today I have Professor Jeffrey Sachs. I didn't know that my comments with him became so viral. he had quite a brouhaha with my former colleague. The name now escaping me. British guy that works for
Oh, Piers Morgan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But Jeff's one of the smartest people I know. He can take on almost anybody. Jeff is fiercely against the genocide in Gaza and fiercely against Americans in this aid in this feudal war in Ukraine. Anyway, Jeff is on today. Colonel Kwiatkowski is on today. Matt Ho is on today. Colonel McGregor was just on an hour or so ago. Scott Ritter will be on later in the week. Professor Mearsheimer, Max Blumenthal. You want to see a really talented, charming woman, it's Mrs. Max Blumenthal, who uses her family name, Anya Perempil. She was on, and that took off wonderfully, an independent journalist in her own right.
Well, I appreciate your time as always, and I encourage folks, especially if you want a different perspective than the usual corporate media, especially on questions of war, check out Judging Freedom today. And until next week, thank you, Judge. Really appreciate
it. Thank you, my man. All the best.
Yes, sir. Again, folks, that's Judge Andrew Napolitano. Always appreciate the time with him. Got to hit a quick break here, and then we'll have the chairman of the board of the Prattville Public Library, Ray Bowles, in the studio here with me. Look forward to our conversation. For the break, though, this part of the program brought to you by Josh and Leslie Ryder there at Dylan Rings. Now, this week, if you go to Dylan Rings' Facebook page, you can see that they're having renovations done. And so it's they're, you know, upgrading that showroom. They want it to look just as good as the jewelry they have on offer there. And when you're talking about Dylan Rings, you're talking about a full-service jewelry shop. So not only do they have great selections from high-end pieces, even sometimes antique heirloom pieces, to everyday jewelry that, you know, you're not going to cry about if you lose it at the beach or something, but it still looks great. But they also have repairs they can do, whether it's watch repairs or general jewelry repairs, spa treatments for that jewelry of yours. Don't you feel great after going to the spa? Your jewelry will too. And really, at the end of the day, they can do appraisals, custom design work. Like I said, full service jewelry shop. That's Dylan Rings. So you can always call them at 215-3669, but I really encourage you to stop by 119 Brown Springs Road here in Montgomery, just off of Atlanta Highway. I remember it because it's where I kind of used to work for 2 years, at the old Fun Zone. You can still see the platform the rink was on. So y'all check out Dylan Rings today, and be sure to tell them that Joey from the radio sent you.
He may not know whether he's coming or going, but whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings, 6 till 9, and afternoons, 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
I'm with Miss Dot at the Eastbrook Flea Market and Antique Mall. How was your anniversary sale, Dot?
It was just wonderful, and I want to thank everybody that came out. It was a great time. It meant so much to me for it to be 30 years, and y'all just came out and made my day.
Well, spring is almost here. Is Eastbrook ready?
We're beginning to get the patio tables and chairs out. We've got so much there, it's hard to put it into a minute commercial. You just got to come see what we got. You know, we've got three floors and 60,000 square feet. So just come see us, because we probably got a sale or two going. And our merchandise is pretty reasonable, I think. We don't charge a commission to the vendors. And so our prices are able to be a little bit less than some other places.
Give us those hours of operation.
Monday through Friday, 10 until 6. Saturday, 9 until 6. And Sunday is 12:30 to 4:30.
That's the Eastbrook Flea Market and Antique Mall, 425 Coliseum Boulevard.
So y'all come on by and see us. We'd love to have you.
Who's there?
It's Bill, the electrician, here to make your home burglar-proof.
Oh, thank goodness. I thought maybe you were an intruder.
No, ma'am. I'm a burglar's worst nightmare.
If your house doesn't have sufficient outdoor lighting, it's a prime target for intruders. That's why you should call Crosby Electric today.
How's it going, Bill?
Just fine, ma'am. See, when your intruder trips this wire, it grabs him by the foot and hangs him upside down.
Really?
The experts at Crosby Electric will install lighting that not only discourages intruders, but also makes it safer for you and your guests to navigate around steps, pools, and other tripping hazards.
Bill, is that contraption safe?
Oh, sure. It's disarmed now, but...
Bill!
Like I said, I'm a burglar's worst nightmare.
I see.
You mind cutting me down, ma'am?
Avoid your worst nightmare. Call the outdoor lighting experts at Crosby Electric or visit CrosbyElectric.com.
Sometimes you need things done around your house or land that your lawnmower or weed eater just can't handle. That's when you call Prattville Farm Center. They bring their own crew and equipment and clear whatever you need. They say no job is too small. I've been going to Prattville Farm Center for years, and I like dealing with hometown folks. They get the job done right and get it done quickly. If you have land that needs clearing, call Randy at Prattville Farm Center on South Memorial Drive in Prattville. Call 365-5400.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Are you a victim of the timeshare trap and think there's no way out? I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group, the original timeshare cancellation expert. And I'm here to tell you that there is a way out. We've helped over 30,000 families out of financial hardship by getting them out of bad timeshares. If your timeshare agreement goes on forever, if you were told timeshares are a great investment, or your maintenance fees will never go up, you have questions, we have the answers. At Wesley Financial Group, we're dedicated to helping timeshare owners get out of their financial nightmare. All you need to do is give my office a call. I will send you a timeshare exit information kit absolutely free, explaining how the timeshare industry works and your options for cancellation.
Call now for your free timeshare exit information kit. Call 800-761-0000. That's 800-761-0000. 800-761-0000.
For too long, Alabama's statewide news companies have shamed us for our conservative Christian values. Alabama deserves a news company that cherishes our culture, a company that isn't bought and paid for by the powers that be. 1819 News is that company. Run by Alabamians for Alabamians, 1819 News celebrates what is good and beautiful about our state while exposing those who work against our values in secret. Just go to 1819news.com to learn more. Subscribe to our newsletter. That's 1819news.com.
Live local talk, the River Region's only 24-hour News Talk FM station. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Joey Clark.
Welcome back to News and Views in the Afternoon. Now, as promised, right across the desk from me here in the studio, we have the one, the only, Ray Bowles. Ray, how you doing today?
I am great. How are you guys doing?
I'm all right. I don't know where Eddie is.
I don't know. He's listening.
He's always working.
He's always working.
Always doing up to
Absolutely.
Something.
Absolutely.
That guy can't stop working.
I love the new office. I haven't been in here since y'all moved downstairs.
Really?
Yeah. So this is great.
Yeah, I like not having to climb the
except
those
for that
stairs.
Little camera right there.
It's not hooked up to anything.
Okay. Well, I thought you were like live streaming this thing or something.
Oh well, yeah. That one's hooked up and that one's hooked up.
Why is it not facing you?
Well, I got one right here.
I don't have a face for radio.
TV. I don't either. So we're gonna try to make this work. But we often talk every day about your business, Prattville Carpet. But today I wake up and I see a national news headlines and even CNN talking about the public library in Prattville, in particular talking about y'all and on the board. I'm like, hey, I know these people.
Yes.
These are my folks. So I talked about this on Friday with Craig Monger. They did some good reporting on what happened, but I want to hear it right from you. What went down here?
There's so much misinformation on this situation, but I want to start out first and foremost by saying what we are doing. We are absolutely not attacking the LGBTQ community. Now, while we do this interview, if I say it wrong, you have to forgive me because I'm dyslexic. And if you read anything I've wrote, you will understand that I cannot read, I cannot spell, and my writing stuff is awful. But I'd never, ever use it as something of shame or embarrassment. I like to put it out there. I love to tell everybody because there's a lot of kids and a lot of people that have the same reading it, the same disability.
Yep. My dad did.
You know, and it's just not a problem. You just figure out how to deal with it and move on with life and don't let it hold you back. So I'm going to tell you this story. And at the end, if you agree or disagree, great. But I would ask for everybody to calm down. This is America. We have every right to disagree with one another. There's no reason to burn the town down. All right, so here's how this all works out. The first board quits. I haven't even looked at the library. Never even thinking about a library. But when the first board got up mad and quit, I called a friend and said, what's going on? And they explained it to me. I said, well, Angie's not going to be happy with me, but if you need me to, I'll get on there and see if I can straighten this out. No idea the storm that was coming down our way. And I really in my heart of thoughts thinking, hey, this is simple. So here's what my dum-dum did. I went to the Mad Moms, and I said, give me the list of books y'all are angry about. And they gave me the list. And then I took that list to Andrew Foster. And I said, I want you to go through this list, and I want you to highlight everything in this list that has to do with the LGBTQ community. And I want you not to highlight anything that has to do with sex or sexuality. And what I mean by that, so you're clear on what I'm talking about, is anything that's kissing or below, I don't consider sex or sexuality. Don't even care about those books.
Right.
But what I want to do is I want to go back to the moms, and I want to explain to them that the books in yellow that are part of the LGBTQ community are staying right where they are. I'm not willing to touch them. These are our brothers and sisters in our town, and they have every right to be in the library. And if they have kids, they have every right to get hold of those books and read those books, if that's what they choose to do. But if it has to do with sex and sexuality, we will move those to the adult section. We're not going to take them out of the library. Because unfortunately, there are times in life when people run into a situation and they need that material. They don't have the resources to go to speak to a professional, and they need that material in that space. And they need a safe space to quietly and go get that. It'll be in there for them. I'm not going to move one book out of this library. And so what Foster did...
And he is the director of the library at the time.
Was.
Was now.
Former.
Yes.
He did what I asked him to do, but then he emailed me the list and everybody else. After I told him, we're just going to quietly talk to this one group and see if we can get them to calm down. Let's do one group at a time. And then maybe we can go to the other group and say, hey, guys, listen, I promise we're not going after this. We're not going after y'all. It's only these certain books that we want to get out of the hands of children and put them in the adult section. But he emails them. And conveniently, 2 hours later or so, he gets a Freedom of Information Act for those emails. Where it blew up with us was the city attorney in January had told him in an email, because somebody else had asked for him, in a recording, because he'd been recording us the whole time, and I'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
But that under the Freedom of Information Act, those emails between the board and a board, and a board and the director, any communication or text messages or recorded messages did not fall under that. Do not release them. And he did it anyway. And he did it on purpose to try to make it look like we were attacking the LGBT community, when the whole time we've been fighting for them and fighting for this community. And I truly believed he just wanted us to quit too, until he got the right people that he wanted on that board. Because you think about it, the whole board quit. Then we had a new member that quit. I have been in politics years ago for 8 years on the city council. I never witnessed an entire board quitting. You know, so you don't see it. This town did not blow up until July when he came into town. And then it blew up. And my crazy self thought I might could calm it down. Sometimes I don't have the greatest thoughts. So what I'm going to ask this community to do is calm down. I'm going to ask my friends in the LGBT community to trust me. I'm not coming for your books. I'm not coming for anything like that. And I would ask y'all, if you agree that there are certain books that have sex and sexuality in it, to stand up and back us. I think that 30 people hijacked y'all's movement. And it's not right. Now, let's get back to the recordings.
Yeah.
Okay. I knew Andrew was recording us without him ever telling me he was doing it, because he kept asking me oddly specific questions, and most of them pertain to why. Just say what this is. Just say that you're attacking the LGBT community. And I fire right back at him. I say, why are you saying that? They have nothing to do with this conversation. It's not about them. It is about the children not getting their hands on books that they don't need to see. And this went on and on and on. And I can say it now because he put it in the paper. When we had the meeting to talk about if we were going to let him go or if we were going to put him on suspension or if he was going to resign, what we were going to do, as soon as we started, about 2 minutes in, I stopped and I said, are you recording us? He said, yes. I said, let me see it. And he pulled his phone out of the pocket. And anybody in politics knows you cannot record an executive session. You break the law. Right then and there, that was it. We didn't have a choice. We let him go. And then we made a beeline from there. We zipped right out, went straight over to the library to grab his computer. It was me, Rachel, and Quincy. And grabbed to get the computer and tell everybody in the library what went down. Now, this next part is going to dovetail into another part.
Okay.
So we were explaining to everybody what went down, and I told the library board, we're here to help y'all, or the library. Everybody in the library, we are here to help you. We will have an interim quickly. We will find a director quickly. We will get this handled. Do we need to take a break?
No.
Okay, good. So in that statement, I said, now listen, quietly, I have been talking to Bill Gillespie and some of the county commission, and I'm going to talk to some of the city council, because this is a board of the city and the county.
Okay.
And we're going to try to get y'all a raise. Because $10 an hour is not enough. And the city council and the mayor and the commission have my back. And they're here to help too. So then we finish what we're doing. I go back to the store at 5 because I want to let Bart go home. And close it up at 5:30. And I close it up and I'm headed to the house and I get a phone call. That the library people, the people down there, have made the decision to close the library in protest. So I call Angie. I'm like, oh, man, are you kidding me? Now I got to go handle this. So I call Angie, say, hey, I'm not going to be able to eat supper tonight. I'm so sorry. I'm going back to the library. I call Rachel, get her to meet me over there. And by the time I get down there, I am absolutely 100% angry. I went from nice Ray to mean Ray. Two different people. And I go in there, and yes, it got really heated. I completely blew up. I threw out that fake reporter, Josh Holmes. Accidentally hit a lady with the door when I threw him out, because I don't like talking fake news. And go back in there, and we're arguing back and forth, and I finally said, are y'all going to open this library? They said no. I said, all right, I got to call the board. And I walk off. And I was calling the board saying, hey, I'm fixing to fire everybody. I'm not putting up with this. So I got off the phone, I go back over there, I said, okay, I'm going to ask you one more time, what is your name, and will you open the door? They said no, and I fired them. Give me your keys, get your stuff, get out of this library. I don't have time for people to do this to me. And you're not going to use the library as a political movement. I'm not standing for this. So then I locked when we went and talked to the guys, originally, we're going to back up for just a second.
Sure.
After we got the computer out of Andrew's office, we lock the door and we leave. When I go back down there and I'm mad, the door was open. So I said, who went in his office? And one of the little girls snapped at me. I did. I had to get something out of there. So I shut the door and I lock it again. And then as I ran everybody out of the library, I look over and one of the toilets are running 90 to nothing. But this is a commercial toilet. This is dovetailing into something else. I know how to work on most toilets. I couldn't work on this one because it's commercial. So I call Mayor Gillespie. I said, I tell you this, but the toilet's running nonstop. He said, wait a minute. The city pays for the water. Where are you? I said, well, I'm on the way home. And can I come by and get the keys to the library because I need to go get that fixed? What mayor is going to come by at 7 o'clock at night and get the keys to the library and go fix the toilet? That would be Mayor Gillespie.
Right.
He actually did that.
Wow.
So Saturday morning, we go in and hire the new person, and as the new director, and go over a few things with her. Hang on, take a drink of water.
Right. Getting folks talking to Ray Bowles.
Okay, so I leave and I get a phone call. The books are gone. What do you mean the books are gone? Because Andrew Foster, in his wisdom, when I sent him that list, pulled every one of those books off the shelf. And I had been trying my hardest to get them back on there, and he would not put them back. Absolutely. He's like, nope, to put them back, we got to have a vote. We're going to have a special meeting. Because he was doing everything he could to make us look as bad as possible. I said, what are you talking about? Those books are gone. We got to get them on the shelf. They're gone. They're not in the library. They're not in his office. They're nowhere to be found. I said, crap. Call the police department right now. So we called and made a report of missing books. Rachel stayed down there all afternoon going through the videos, and we found where they took some of the employees took the books. Called them up and said, you got to get them back now, or this is fixing to get really bad. We got the books back. And this is what we've been dealing with on a daily basis. Is one thing after another, after another, after another, and it all came out of that director's office. And a few rogue employees.
Now, everything you just said, and if I could give it back to you, you had been in politics and part of leadership in the Prattville community for 8 years on the city council. I knew that about you. You're a local business owner, advertised on the show and other places. You're pretty high profile. Like, people would know who Ray Bowles is in the community. I'll put it that way. And you decide, after all this goes down with the board quitting, the library board quitting, that, you know what, because I have this experience, I'm going to stand up. I'm going to try to create a compromise in this situation, because we're all here in Prattville. We're local. We're neighbors. So you're going to address this one group who has a grievance. You're going to try to create some workable situation with the other groups and all the opposing interests here. As you're doing that, you find that the director of the library seems to be laying traps for y'all the whole time. Like, he's recording you, in particular recording executive sessions. There are all of a sudden all sorts of media requests for emails that you thought you were just going to get for yourself, again, because you're doing this compromise over these mm-hmm. books. And then when you find out, okay, he's recording executive session, which is illegal, you're going to fire him. Then the staff there bars up the library. So they have to be fired, though, I think, and subsequently one or two have come back.
One
has come back.
One called me. She did call me the next day, apologized, said, I let my emotions get a hold of me.
All right.
And I said, listen, you come back to work. I will never, we'll never hold this against you. We're not going to write you up. We're not going to put it in a file. Just come back to work, because this library needs you.
So I now want to, because you laid out your story. And I think I gave a fair appraisal of what you just told me.
Yes.
Summary. This is what CNN's Caitlin Collins wrote on her Twitter account just after last night interviewing former director Andrew Foster on our show. Caitlin Collins writes, Andrew Foster, the director of my hometown's public library, was fired last week amid a book fight, says his job was politicized. Quote, and I believe this is quoting Foster, absolutely. And that's unfortunately happening at libraries all over the state and all over the nation. Well, from your story, Ray, he was the one that came in with an agenda to politicize it from the get-go, before you'd really even gotten to know this guy, I imagine, because he's there as you get on the board.
Yes.
And my words, not yours, this guy is a little snake. And he wants to slither up to national TV and make it seem like it's y'all that are politicizing it, when you in particular are trying to create a compromise between these different groups. And he's the one running to the press. He's the one pulling books off the shelves you didn't ask him to pull off the shelves. You're trying to create understanding. I guess I should get used to it at this point. This is how national media and how so many folks within so-called professional settings tend to work these days. And I think it's miserable, and we, Prattville in particular, should be better than that.
Well, and the bigger problem that we have in this entire situation is that a lot of people won't pick up a phone and call. For instance, Jacob Holmes wrote a hit piece. I won't talk to Jacob Holmes. I think he's a fake reporter. There's nothing real about this dude. That when I fired the those four people. I told them that I was calling the city council and the mayor and the county commission because they had my back, because he had a recording of me saying that. Do you remember when I was telling them I'm trying to get them a raise?
Yeah.
Do you know how many people in the city council, the mayor's office, or that county commission's called me and asked me, hey, is that true? Because it is Jacob Holmes, and we all know he's a liar.
Mm-hmm.
Two. For that, I'm very disappointed. Now, when I took this fight on, I told everybody on the board, if y'all will line up behind me, I will take the arrows. I'm good at taking arrows. Very few things pierce me and drives Angie nuts, because she is emotional and she can't take them. And even though all these people came after my business, they shut my Google account down, they've gone after my Yelp account, they've gone after us completely, they've gone after my family, and it has been one attack after another. And when I took this on, I knew I was risking a lot for our business and people not buying from me. But there's one verse in the Bible that rings in my ear always, or two really. The first one is, you protect the children. And if you don't, it's not going to be good. The second is, the love of money is where the heart is. And I told a businessman last night that called me. I said, hey, he was giving me that, boy, you keep it up. I said, have you said anything? Have you made any public at all? Oh, no, I can't. Some of my people might not buy from me. I said, Jesus is watching you, buddy. And that's the love of money. We got to stand up for the children. This is not about churches. This is not about the LGBTQ community. We're all in this together to protect the children. And if you're worried about money, that ain't good. That ain't good at all. So I'm willing to take the fight, but there's a couple of things else do we need to talk about. Do we need to take a break?
Yeah, we do need a quick break here, and we'll finish up more with Ray Bowles on the other side.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
The Veterans Access to Care Bill, now in the Alabama State Legislature, will relieve the overwhelmed federal VA health care system and provide the specially tailored care that veterans need.
Paid for by the Alabama Council of Chapters Military Officers Association of America Mobile.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network is brought to you by Earnest Financial.
If you're tired of losing your money in the stock market, call David Earnest, 334-279-7431. Earnest Financial, LLC.
Hi, everybody. Our late-season cold snap continues. Today's temperature's way below normal with sunshine and a high temperature only about 59. I think we'll fall back to the 30s tonight with mostly clear skies and an overnight low temperature down to about 37. Some more frost in the morning. Not quite as cool Wednesday with a high near 70. We'll be in the low 70s Thursday with more sun and the next risk of scattered showers returning Thursday night into Friday. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
We're redesigning financial freedom at CBNS Bank. Make purchases at participating stores and restaurants using your CBNS Bank debit card through your mobile devices with Mobile Wallet. Charges and fees may apply from your cellular service provider. Contact your service provider for more information. Member FDIC.
Make 2024 the year you break away from the chain stores and join us here at Adams Drugs. We value your business and want to provide you the best customer service at the lowest possible price. We've been serving up excellent customer service here in the River Region for over 62 years.
I made the swap to Adams Drugs and I couldn't be happier. Having a job and then getting three kids to all of their activities keeps me busy. I don't have an hour to waste waiting on a prescription. At Adams, they know me and my family. I get in and out in minutes, and when I can't get by Adams, they'll bring the prescription right to my door.
What are you waiting for? Come in to Adams Drugs and let us earn your business. Our friendly and personal staff will talk with you and answer any questions you may have about your prescriptions. Your satisfaction is our number one goal. Visit us at AdamsDrugs.net for the location nearest to you. Adams Drugs is your local independent Health Mart pharmacy. Health Mart, taking the time to listen and care.
In Alabama, more than 200,000 of our friends and neighbors are living without health coverage. Often folks can't stay healthy enough to keep their jobs. We need to fix this. Contact Governor Kay Ivey and let her know. Now is the time to close the coverage gap and cover Alabama.
Paid for by the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network.
On FM, on your smartphone, and online, the River Region's most trusted voice, News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Joey Clark.
Welcome back to News and Views in the Afternoon. We also have Ray Bowles here in the studio. It's not just me. Continuing the story here, he is, of course, now chairman of the board there over the Prattville Public Library. And where we left off is kind of the response from the community, right?
Correct. And so I want to talk to the churches for a second and the pastors. I've talked to a lot of different pastors, and I get the same response from everybody. Oh, we can't get involved. Why not? Well, we just can't because we don't want to offend anybody. And my response is, this ain't about anybody but protecting children. Now, when Gideon went to war, he had 300 men behind him. Right now, I have just a handful of people behind me. And I mentioned the other day, a little bit ago, about the arrows.
Mm-hmm.
There's only been one that actually struck me and really hurt, and it's from the churches and their response. And they're not willing to stand up and call sin, sin. And that we should not allow pornography in the child's hands, because even the movie industry doesn't allow kids to go and watch R-rated movies. The states won't let kids under 21 drink alcohol. We have, our society has ages for everything, except for books for some ungodly reason. But if you are for this, and you say, okay, we need to move these books, we're not going to ban anything, but we do need to move them. I ask you to be at City Hall tonight at 6 o'clock. You go in there peacefully and quietly, not one word. I don't want anybody talking. Don't sign up to talk. I have to introduce the new lady. And after I get done, I'm going to ask a question, who's for this board? And you raise your hands. And then we will leave. Quietly. No screaming, no hollering, no calling to somebody's Google account trying to shut them down. We're not going to attack anybody. But as decent human beings, we've got to stand up. That's how we've got this far with this situation, is because good people will not stand up because they do not want to be attacked. And I have to say that it has been an all-out attack like I could have never, ever dreamed of. And I'm really praying for our community. I'm praying for our library and our staff. But we've got to get this community on the same page and get these books moved and get this thing back on track. We will get this thing staffed quickly. And they said an article about we don't have enough hours. We're fixing that immediately. So we will have enough hours to keep our funding. So we're not going to lose any of our funding. And everybody is working very, very hard for this library. And I have to say thank you for all the volunteers that have been coming down there and helping out. It would not stay open without you guys. And I really appreciate that.
And it sounds to me that like there are a lot of outside sources trying to push, and even before you showed up, that this became an issue for, say, some at a national level where, okay, if you're going to question the books there at all, we're going to fight back with our abilities, our money, our national
stuff. And this is not about, make no mistake, it's not about the Prattville Tolka County Library. It's about every library in the state is why this fight's going on. And our, unfortunately and fortunately at the same time, we're at the forefront of this fight. And really, we're at the forefront of this fight for the country. So I'm fighting for the soul of this Prattville. I'm fighting for the soul of Autauga County, Alabama, and this country. Because sometimes you've just got to pick up the sword and stand up. And I wish more men and women would do it.
Now, we have a call here from Adam. I think he wants to challenge you on some of the things you've said.
Oh, yeah. He's one of the ones that went after my Google account, my family, my... Really? He went after my son-in-law. He went after my daughter and my granddaughter. Good job, Adam. You've never talked to me in person. Would you meet me at Proudful Carpet? I'll be glad to sit down and talk to you, son. Nothing?
Adam? Right. So, we do not support censorship. My son deserves to see books in the library that represent his family. And we need people like Ray Bowles in the library forcing librarians to do things that are against the library.
Did you hear the beginning of this interview?
Why haven't they went and trained with the APLS? They have no idea how to run a library at all. Laura Clark is a fake lawyer.
Okay, Adam, is there anything you want to particularly talk about, or are you just going to call people names?
Hasn't Ray Bowles done that this whole time?
No, he hasn't.
He needs to be put on a leash.
Adam, you know where my office is. You know where you can walk in that door at any point in time and sit down, and I will have an actual conversation with you. But all you do is get behind a keyboard and attack people. But you will not be a man and come down and sit with me and talk with me.
You haven't tried to talk to anybody.
Why don't you come and actually have a conversation with me?
Other than clean up Alabama.
I invite any of y'all to come in and have an actual conversation. But y'all won't.
Then let's schedule a meeting, Ray. Let's schedule a meeting.
Okay, right now. When? Let's do it tomorrow.
What time tomorrow?
I've got to run to Auburn, measure three jobs. I'll be back. I'm going to take Angie to lunch. And then after that, we can sit down and talk. And it will be in the office, so we have people around, and you'll be in a safe environment.
Let me see what time I have to work. I will call you at the library tomorrow.
You can call me. Hey, get my cell phone number. You got a pen?
I don't want your cell phone number, Ray.
Okay. But I would love nothing more than to actually sit down and let's have a civil conversation about this. That's what I've been after the whole time, is to have a civil conversation.
You haven't reached out to anybody to have a civil conversation. You took over the library. You put in...
Took over? Weren't you elected?
My right.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't he elected?
The Ray Bowles Show. This is what this is. You have puppets doing your work. It's clearly obvious.
Well, Adam, I've never really talked to you, but I can see what Ray's been dealing with now.
Yeah, and I'm glad that I'm allowed to say what I want to say about the situation. Mm-hmm. We deserve to be represented in a public library. There's no pornography in the children's library, and there never has been.
So you're saying books that describe, I don't know how to say the word, I'm fixing to get beat, but blowjobs.
And where was that in the children's library?
That is in the teen section. The one that's...
Okay, that is not the children's library. The children's library is completely separated from the regular
library. I look at anybody under 17, just like they do with selling movies and cigarettes, as being a child. That's why you have special courts for people 17 years and under, and they don't send them to a federal prison with grown men.
And do you buy those videos or let your children watch those videos?
No,
because you have control over your own children.
And that's why we want to put them in
your own children.
And that's why we want to put them in the adult section so you can check them out for your children.
They're fine where they are. Like I said, there's no pornography.
Because
in
you
the children's
want
section
kids to get hold of them. Why is that?
Because everybody should deserve free access.
So
to
children should be able
library.
To read stuff like that, is what you're saying. Without the parents'
children
consent.
The parents should be able to make the choice if their children read it or not. Yes.
Yes, absolutely, and that's what we're at.
And they have that choice.
They do. It'll be in the adult section.
They already have that choice.
And it'll be parents' choice because it'll be there for the parents to grab.
Before you guys decided to move it to the adult section, they had that choice.
Well, they'll still have the choice. It'll be in the adult section. We'll agree to disagree. Thank you.
Well, and I'm out of time for this hour, and I appreciate your time, Ray.
And I've got about 13 more things to do, so you can do the ad later.
Okay, I will.
Thank you, guys.
And stay tuned, especially Adam. We have Coach Tommy Tuberville on. I'm sure y'all would love to hear from him. More news and views in the afternoon after this.
Broadcasting from the Riverside Chevrolet Master Control Center, this is WACV Coosada, News Talk 93.1 FM. When it's Chevy, it's Riverside.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott, a California legislator backed by former President Trump.